Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yechezkel Perek Lamed Ches, the 38th chapter in the book of Yechezkel. And this is the first of two chapters which deals with the war of Gog Umagog. This is the famous apocalyptic battle, the end of time, where we have a tremendous war being fought in the land of Israel, focusing around Yerushalayim. And this is actually also the Haftarah, this particular Perek. Moving into the next Perek is the Haftarah for Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos. So it's interesting that Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos and Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach seem to focus on the end of times, or the Valley of Dry Bones in the last Perek, and now the War of Gog and Magog. And this war is actually referenced numerous times in Sefer Yeshayahu, and also specifically in Sefer Zechariah in the last three Prakim, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, and Yud Dalet. So it's a very famous concept. It is a very mysterious concept. It talks about a apocalyptic war at the end of times where there's much damage and done, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately winning the battle supernaturally, and this being this moment, this epiphany of the king, the God of Israel, being supreme over the entire world. And throughout all of history, many of the leaders of the generations that lived through terrible, terrible wars during their times tried to suggest that perhaps, or perhaps beg that those wars would be considered the War of Gog and Magog to usher in Mashiach. And we'll perhaps, when we get to the end of Perek Lamed Ches, deal with some of those propositions. One example is, just briefly, is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Dalad Amud Aleph, tells us that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make Sancheirev Gog and Chizkiyahu the Melech HaMashiach, but that opportunity was lost. So there was even an opportunity, even in the times of Tanakh, for this war to have occurred, and it was missed. And there's numerous other suggestions which are given. Essentially, these two prokem, Lamed Ches and Lamed Tes, are broken into four sections of this episode. We're going to obviously be focusing on the first two of those sections today, and the last two sections tomorrow. So the first section is a description of Gog and his intention. It runs from Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk Yud Gimel. We're introduced as Yechezkel is told to Sim Ponecho El Gog Mele Gog Eretz El Gog Eretz Hamagog Nasi Rosh Meshech V'Tuval. So you're supposed to turn and prophesize. The audience of this prophecy is to Gog from the land of Magog. So it sounds like the way Yechezkel is describing it is that the king is Gog and the land is Magog. He is the head of Meshech and Tuval. And this is the prophecy. Gog is going to somehow bring together this alliance of this massive army, Kahal Rav, Tzinaam, Magen, Tosei, Charavos, Kulam, a very well-armed army, which is going to include nations like Paras, Kush, Uput, Itam. They're going to, the Persians, the Ethiopians, all going to come together for a large battle. And when it goes on to describe all the people that are coming with him, and they're going to come miyamim rabim tipokeid ba'acharis hashanim, at from many days at the end of the time, they will come el eretz mosheves, to the settled land, mecherev mekubetzes me'amim rabim, with a sword gathered from many nations, al horei Yisrael, on the mountains of Israel, shahayu l'chorba tamid, which were always destroyed, v'hi me'amim hutza'a v'yashu levetach kulam, but it is no longer a part of the nations, and is now settled down. And at this point, as Israel is in a moment of settlement, in a moment of stability, va'alisa kashoah tovo, you will approach like a shoah, a word which obviously today is has got very powerful meaning. And it'll be this cloud, you'll cover all of the area. And Hashem says, I want you to understand, I know your bad thoughts. I know that you're saying, E'eleal eretz perozois avoy ha-shoktim, yoshel ovetach, you're trying to come upon a secure and quiet land, yoshrim be'en choma, who live without walls, without fortifications. You just want to take loot, you just want to destroy this land. So this is the first prophecy of who Gog is and what he is intending to do. So first of all, a few things to notice. That Rashi points us already back to Bereishis Perek Yud, where we notice the descendants of Noach, that of his three sons, Yefes has a descendant whose name is Magog. So Magog was a person then, and he gave rise to a nation called Magog, and later on the king is going to be called Gog. So just in terms of putting things in context. The Malbim says, obviously speaking in the 1800s with a lot more perspective of history at this point in time, he says, as the Abarbanel suggests in the 1500s, that we're talking about, sounds like a coalition of nations from the north, probably Christian Europe, to the Arab Middle East, and the war is going to be between these two warring parties. That's what it sounds like at this point in time. You'll notice that in this first section, there seems to be a discrepancy as whether Israel is in a state of disarray and destruction or in a state of security and peace. So the Malbim says, no, what exactly is going on over here is, in the past, you, Gog, picked on Israel and they were somewhat deserving of their attack because of their sins. But now, at the Achris Hayom, at the end of days, you're going to be attacking them when they are now have returned. They are Hutza'ah. They have returned from their Golus now deserving to live in peace and quiet, and now you come again. That's when you come, and you come, and the only reason to prey on them is because you want to take advantage, not because of any gain necessarily. You're just trying to take advantage. And this is Hashem's opportunity to take revenge on them. When we look at the word Shoah, which is used here, you're going to Olisaka Shoah, you're going to rise like a Shoah. What does the word Shoah actually mean? The Metzoras Tzion, which is the Pirush of the Metzoras David, just as he uses almost a dictionary to explain the words. So the Metzoras Tzion explains that it is Inyan Choshech. It is a notion of darkness, and he quotes from Eov as to what Shoah means, whereas the Radak says it's not darkness, it's more like a wave which washes away everything in its path. Obviously, the term for the Holocaust as we use it today in Hebrew is Shoah, and it's clear this is one of the underpinnings of that notion taken from Yechezkel's description of this apocalyptic battle, the end of days. Why exactly are they coming? So in this section, this first section, in terms of their intent, that it seems that it is because they say that we're going to come and take advantage of a peaceful nation like we did in the past. But we're going to see in the next section that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually placing that thought in their minds in order to take advantage of them. So that leads us right into the next section, which runs from Pasuk Yud Dalet to the end of the Perek. And in this section, HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes how they are going to, he is supposed to give a second prophecy to Gog, and says that on the day that Israel returns to its land, that's when you're going to come from the north riding in your horses and your attack, and you're going to attack them and cover the land like this cloud. Gog, I'm going to use you as a tool of being a Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Which is interesting. Well, it seems like it's a repetition of the same thing. I'm going to bring you into the land. So either one could pull the two ideas together and saying, well, the first section of this parak is talking about how they intended to come for their own personal gain, whereas the second part of the parak is describing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually orchestrating that. But the Malbim says no. The Malbim says that, in fact, there's going to be three attacks that Gog is going to make on Israel. Two that are described in this parak, and one in Zechariah at the last parak. And this, there's actually three separate attacks which are happening, which is why this distinction, just to be aware of this. So what's going to happen? So at this point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, going on from Pasuk Yozayin, HaTohu Asher Dibarti Bayomim HaKadmonim B'yad Avodah Yinevi'i Yisrael HaNibim Yoyomim Ahem Shonim Lovi Oischo Aleihem. I've already talked about this. I've already said that this is going to happen. You're going to come. It's old news. That day that you come onto Israel, Ta'alech HaMosi Ba'api, my anger will rise. You know what's going to happen? There's going to be a Ra'ash Godol al Admas Yisrael. Ra'ash is sometimes identified as an earthquake. There's going to be some tumultuous supernatural event, it sounds like. V'ra'ashu mipnei miponai degei hayam v'of ha'shomayim v'chayas ha'aretz. Just to look at these words, the fish are going to tremble, the birds, the beasts of the field, v'chol remes ha'rames al adama, everything is going to tremble. V'chol adama shal pnei adama v'nersu ha'arim v'noflu ha'madregois v'chol choma la'aretz tipol. The mountains will crumble. The steps or these edifices will disintegrate. Every wall will fall to the ground. It sounds like a terrible supernatural disaster, perhaps natural disaster. At this point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring the sword to everybody's going to kill themselves in this And then v'nishpatati itoy b'dever v'adam v'geshem shotev v'evne avne elgavish eish v'gofris. There's going to be this rain of terrible hail and stones from heaven and fire, and there's going to be gofris, and pitch is going to be coming down. Sounds similar to the descriptions of Sodom and Parshas Vayera. And finally, viskadalti, viskadishti, v'noedati le'enei ha'goyim rabim. I'm going to be made great, and I'm going to be sanctified in front of many nations, as you are the center stage, as I destroy you. V'yadu kina Hashem. Obviously, these two words in the last pasuk, this perek and pasuk chav gimel, are the only two Hebrew words which are actually the starting point of the Kaddish prayer that we say, is yiskadal viskadash, which is drawn directly from this section in Yechezkel. Just one or two points to focus on over here. What does it mean that Hashem said this is old news? I've talked about this in the past. When in the past was this talked about? So the Chidah quotes a very fascinating Chazal, saying that this was in fact the prophecy that Eldad and Medad had actually said in the camp. What's this referring to? In Parshas Ba'aloscha, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was to elect 70 Zakenim who are going to be with him, and two people did not arrive. Did not come when they were called, and they were Eldad and Medan. They were sort of prophesizing in the camp, and Yeshua was greatly disturbed by their prophecy. What did they prophesize? So the Chidah quotes the Chazal saying that they were prophesizing about the apocalyptic war at the end of time, and it's so shocking. It's such a graphic description, as we'll see, as we'll continue to see, that that's why Yeshua was very concerned, and that is that is what Hashem says. It's already old news. This is going to be happening. Is this war supernatural, or is it metaphoric for fantastic natural world? And Farshim debate this. The Radak says it's literally supernatural, except perhaps the fish, because the war is going to be centered around Jerusalem in the hills. So maybe the fish are not necessarily, might just be a description of how exaggerated, how terrifying it will be. But nonetheless, the Radak also entertains the possibility that no, this will be such a far-reaching disaster that everything is going to crumble around it. And the Chidah says, Kabbalistically, potentially, what it means is that the hills are opening. You know, in a day when we live, where we talk about nuclear warfare, we shudder to think what this could actually mean. When we've seen what nuclear warfare looks like at the end of World War II, there's unfortunately, we've seen what some of this could mean. But the Chidah said, maybe Kabbalistically, it means that the land will release the sparks of holiness that were trapped in it throughout the ages, which perhaps through Golas, which needed to be released at this point in time. So it might be more of a metaphoric description over here. One last thing just to worthwhile thinking about as we close today, there's obviously much more to discuss, and that is if you take a look at Rav Hirsch in Parshas Pinchas, where he talks about the festival of Sukkos, he points out that the word Gog and Magog sound very similar to the word Gag, which is a roof, and a magog is a person who makes a roof. In a certain sense, we're perhaps talking about the metaphoric roof makers of history. We're supposed to live in a sukkah. We're supposed to live in a frail and vulnerable condition, knowing that we may have walls around us, but when we look upwards, we only see the heavens. We're in Hashem's hand. Gog or Magog are the metaphoric, symbolic roof makers who don't want to have God in their lives, in their national conversation, and they are waging against those who create the sukkahs. So sort of this figurative battle between that entity and this entity of what Klal Yisrael represents, of vulnerability and connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to God. We will have an opportunity to explore it a little more in the last two sections in Paraklamites tomorrow. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.